Now we have the opportunity to open up God's Word and consider a portion of it and its application to our lives. As I said, we're going to build off of what we started last week, conclude it by looking at what wives can do to help their husbands be better husbands. And I'm mindful as we continue looking at this subject and as we sang the song we had just a moment ago, not everyone is in a position in their lives where they would appreciate an immediate application of this study. Not every member of this congregation is married. For some, that's okay. For others, that's a sore spot. And we understand that. We certainly understand that as we understand one another. Nonetheless, this is a part of the whole counsel of God. And it needs to be studied. It needs to be understood. There are those who are in the trenches. There are those who do need this specific teaching and application of it. And so we study it together as God's people, striving to help each of us as we have different privileges and different blessings to meet our responsibilities and to serve God faithfully. Having a bad marriage is easy. Having a good and happy marriage takes a lot of work. As we pointed out last week, a marriage is a cooperative effort, with each spouse having to give and take a little. And there are times when each is going to need the other to help them. No one is perfect. There are no perfect husbands. And I guess there are no perfect wives. And so there are no perfect marriages. I say that to say there is always room for improvement. There's always room where husbands can do better. Last week we looked at what husbands need to do to help their wives to be better wives. And so this week we are turning the tables. As I said last week, we cannot change people. The things that we're talking about from God's Word are not a magical formula. There's not a wand that we can wave to change people completely and entirely. If your husband is a bad person, he's going to be a bad person. But I've been here long enough. I know the men who are a part of this congregation. Your husband is a good man, and he desires to do what is right. And we're going to look at some things that you can do to help him to be an even better person. Husband. Where do we start? Let's start at the very beginning, in Genesis chapter 2, where we learn that the wife is to be her husband's companion. You want to help your husband be a better husband? Then be his companion. Let's read the text, Genesis chapter 2, verses 18 through 24. It says, "And the Lord God said, 'It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him.' Out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, 'This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh.'" Eve was created because Adam was incomplete. Eve was created because it was not good for Adam to be alone. God had created man as a social being, and he saw that he needed proper companionship. And no animal would do. God, the text specifically says that God brought every animal he created before Adam. And it wasn't just so Adam could name all of creation. It was so that Adam could see that there was not a companion for him. He had no companion. No animal could do this. Another man could not do this. God created a woman to be the man's companion. A wife completes a man. A wife brings something to him that he cannot supply for himself, that animals cannot supply, that his parents cannot supply, that another man cannot supply. It's only supplied through his wife. Wives, your husband doesn't need you to be his friend. Now, you and your husband had better be best friends. But your husband doesn't need you to be a friend or his maid or his second mother. What your husband needs is for you to be his companion. He needs to know that you are his wife and that he is your husband. He needs to know that you are there for him and that you will be with him. He needs to know that he comes first with you. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 7, the Apostle Paul begins to address some questions that the Corinthians had about marriage. And he begins 1 Corinthians at chapter 7, verses 1. Let's start at verse 1. Now concerning the things of which you wrote to me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, because of sexual immorality, let each man have his own wife, and let each woman have her own husband. Let the husband render to his wife the affection due her, and likewise also the wife to her husband. Notice that there in verse 2, her own husband. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 33 says, nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. You want to help your husband be a better husband? Let him know that you are his wife and that he is your husband. That you are his and he is yours. That is important to your husband. Secondly, as the text in Genesis indicated, the woman was created to be a helpmeet for Adam. That's indicated in verse 18 and verse 20 of Genesis chapter 2, to be his helpmeet. The women's liberation movement has done women an injustice and marriage much harm in our society. I realize, or at least I presume, that the movement came about because women were being mistreated, but like so many other things, pendulums have a way to swing of swinging to the opposite extreme. And now, women are pitted against men as competitors in the job market, as competitors in educational environments, and even as competitors, unfortunately, within the home. That's not the way God created man and woman to function. We're not competitors. God took the woman from the man, not from another lump of clay, to be his rival. And notice, the text specifically says that God took the woman from Adam's side. He didn't take the woman from his foot so that he would trample upon her. And he didn't take the woman from his head so that she would be over him, but from his side. And that's where the wife belongs, at the side. They are familiar equals. When married, they are one flesh, God says. And the New Testament repeats numerous times. They are a team. Eve was created to be Adam's helper, not Adam's competitor. So let's consider some ways in which the wife is to be a helpmeet. What are some specific ways that the wife is to be a helpmeet to the husband? Well, first is by fulfilling her role as being a homemaker. In the book of Titus, chapter 2, and at verse 5, the older women are to teach the younger women to love their husbands, to love their children, be discreet, chaste, homemakers. And we talked about that last week, that the husband would do well to understand everything that's involved in being a homemaker, so that there are no unrealistic expectations of the wife, and so that the wife has everything that she needs to excel in that area. That is her responsibility. Now, let's look at the other side of that. Wives, you have a responsibility of taking care of the home. This responsibility has been given to you. It has not been given to your husband. It has not been given to your children. That doesn't mean they cannot help. But ultimately, the responsibility lies with you, just like the responsibility of leadership lies with the husband. You might be thinking, how is taking care of the home going to help my husband be a better husband? Well, number one, you're going to set the tone for your home. Of all the people who are in the home, the wife sets the tone for the home. Remember I said last week I had a perfectly well-functioning bachelor pad and got married, and all of a sudden everything changed. Everything changed. Let me tell you what really changed. The tone in that house, it turned into a home. You set the tone for your home in the way you care for your home. And if it's in disarray and if it's in dysfunction, and your children and your husband come home to that, it's going to have an impact on them. So be a homemaker. Take care of the home. That is going to help your husband be a better husband. It's also going to help him to trust you. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 31. Most wives are familiar with this passage. Most wives want to live up to the standard that is set in this passage. But we looked last week. There's some things husbands need to learn from this. There's a role that husbands play. We saw verses 28 through 31 that husbands are to praise their wives. Look also in verse 11. Verse 11 says, the heart of her husband safely trust her. Trust her to do what? He can leave the home and go do the things that he needs to do in providing for the family, providing for his wife. He can leave the home and not have to wonder what's going to happen while he's gone. He trusts her. And if your husband trusts you, that frees him to be able to focus on what he needs to focus on, and you focus on what you need to focus on. You're working together as a team. You want to help your husband be a better husband? Take care of your responsibilities as he is taking care of his responsibilities. Learn to be content. This is how you are a helpmeet. This is how you will help your husband be the best husband he can be. Learn to be content. Paul said in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11, Philippians 4 and verse 11, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. You need to learn to be content. What do I mean by that, and how is that going to help you to help your husband be a better husband? Husbands generally take pride in what they can provide. And if you're constantly dissatisfied, and if you're complaining that you want a better house, a better car, newer furniture, better vacations, this sends a message to your husband. And the message that is sent to your husband isn't, you know, I need to work a little bit harder to make the little lady happy. The message that's sent to your husband is, I'm not good enough. That's the message that's sent. That doesn't help him to be a better husband. Nothing is wrong with wanting to better ourselves, but never use complaining as a motivation. We covered that last week. Husband, you want to help your wife be a better wife? You're not going to do that by complaining and criticizing. And the same thing is true with the wife with their husbands. Driving your husband to provide more or better tells him that you want what he can provide, not that you want him. And that's a message that is received loud and clear. It sends the message that you're using him. And that's not going to help anyone to be better. So be content with what you have. Want to be a helpmeet? Encourage your husband. Just as husbands are to praise their wives and wives respond well to that, guess what, us husbands? We respond to praise as well. We respond to encouragement as well. So encourage your husband to do the best he can when he is at work. If your husband is leading in the worship services, in our assemblies, or teaching class, encourage him to do his best, to do his best as a father, to do his best as a husband. Encouragement from you is going to go much further than encouragement from anyone else. Encourage your husband. Here's something else that you can do to help your husband be a better husband, to be a helpmeet to him, is to give him a woman's perspective. Give him a woman's perspective. Remember, women, men are different. And we're living in a time when, unfortunately, those differences are trying to be erased. And gender equality. But we're wanting to do away with the things that makes he a him and she a her. And we want to get rid of all of that. I can't wait till this fad is over. I hope it's just a temporary thing. I fear that it probably isn't. God made us as male and female. And there's something about the genders that make them different. And if you were made a man, embrace that and be a man. And if you were made a woman, embrace that and be a woman. But help your husband to understand what that means. Remember, husbands, we are to dwell with them with understanding. Remember, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, wives, help us to understand. Help us to understand things from a woman's perspective, to see things from a woman's point of view. Some things come to mind here, especially children. I don't know what it is, but the way God designed men and women differently, women seem to be able to understand children much better than men can. And can understand and sympathize and know what children are going through and what children need more than men. Fathers need this perspective from their wives. Understanding things like emotional issues. Understanding female family members. There's a reason that elders and deacons have to be married men. There's a reason for that. There are different things that are involved in that, but I believe one of them is that a wife can help a deacon, and especially an elder, to have a woman's perspective in dealing with issues that come up in the church. That's important. So you want to help your husband, want to be a helpmeet to him, help him to understand a woman's perspective and influence your husband for good. In the book of 1 Peter at chapter 3, now we spent our time in verse 7 last week talking to the husbands. Remember, likewise, husbands. That's because verses 1 through 6, instructions are given to the wives. Look at verses 1 and 2. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives, when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. What is it that can make that difference? What is it that can convert an unbelieving husband? It's not the wife's continual nagging. It's the wife's influence. It's her godly life that she lives. Wives, you have an influence over your husband. Use that influence for good. Encourage him to do what is right with your influence. Be a good example to him. The husband who loves and respects his wife is going to allow her to influence him. Now, if you're married to an unbeliever, this is going to be a great challenge. Your influence has to be consistent. A soul is at stake. But be that good influence. These are some ways that I can see that a wife can be a helpmeet to her husband, to fulfill these different roles and to meet these different needs. There's a third thing that the scriptures teach that wives can do to help their husbands to be better husbands, and that is to submit to his leadership. We just read here in 1 Peter 3 and at verse 1, wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands. Well, Ephesians chapter 5, we see that that same instruction was given by the Apostle Paul. It says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. You see, all the apostles taught the same thing. Peter did, and Paul did as well. Let's read on here. Wives, submit your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. Last week, we pointed out the fact that husbands, don't worry about your wife submitting. She knows about that. She's got that covered. This week, let's cover it. Let's talk about that. Submit to your husband. The man's leadership role in the home is a role of responsibility and a role of accountability, not the role of being a dictator or a tyrant. This is a difficult enough task on its own. It's only made worse by a wife who refuses to submit to the decisions that are made by her husband. If you have a good husband, then he is going to make decisions with you in mind. He knows what your likes and your dislikes are. He knows what your goals and your dreams are. He knows the direction that you want the family to go. He knows these things. If he's a good husband, he's going to make decisions with that in mind. But someone has to make the choice. Someone has to make the decision. And when it is made, submission means you accept it. You yield to it. That's what submit means. It means to yield. You need to do that when that decision is made. I've seen Christian wives who openly and publicly defy their husbands, not just to get a cheap laugh. That's bad enough. But they're serious about it. And it's a shameful thing. It's an embarrassing thing for everyone who has to see that. There are other wives who say, well, I know I'm supposed to submit, but I also know how I can get him to change his mind. I think about Samson and Delilah in Judges chapter 16. Remember, he loved her, but she didn't love him. She found, was given an opportunity to make some money at his expense. Find out what the secret to his strength is, and we'll pay you. And so she set forth to do that, but he didn't give up that secret. And remember in Judges chapter 16, verse 15, then she said to him, how can you say I love you when your heart is not with me? You have mocked me these three times and have not told me where your great strength lies. And it came to pass when she pestered him daily with her words and pressure and pressed him so that his soul was vexed to death that he told her all his heart. Yeah, you can get him to change his mind. But it's not a godly thing to do sometimes. And doing it by pestering him and pressing him and pressuring him is not a godly thing to do. That's not how you bring out the best in your husband. That's how you wear him down to nothing. And we're talking about helping your husband be the best husband that he can be. Let me show you some verses from Proverbs that talk about this kind of a wife. Proverbs chapter 31 talks about the virtuous wife, but there are other passages in Proverbs that talk about another kind of wife. Proverbs chapter 19 and at verse 13 says, a foolish son is the ruin of his father, and the contentions of a wife are a continual dripping. The contentions of a wife that is not satisfied with what the husband can provide, is not satisfied with the decision that the husband has, after much thought and prayer, made. The contentions of a wife are like a continual dripping. It's like that dripping faucet in the middle of the night. You're in bed and you're comfortable. Why would you get up and do that in the middle of the night? Because you can't rest until you go and take care of it. Man, that's motivation, but that's not very godly motivation, is it? What do we call that? That continual dripping? When I was little, we used to say that that was Chinese water torture. I had no idea what that was. But the idea was you tie somebody up and you just let some water drip on them. And that was supposed to drive them crazy. Well, here is a wife doing that very thing. Look in chapter 21, verse 9. Proverbs 21 and at verse 9. Better to dwell in a corner of a housetop than in a house shared with a contentious woman. Remember, many of the houses back then, the housetops were flat, and they were accessible with a ladder. And it wasn't uncommon for people to use the housetop as a second floor. And what does Solomon say? It's better, husband, for you to grab your blanket and pillow and go live in a corner on the roof than to have to be in a house with a contentious wife. Now look down 10 verses later. He's given it some thought. Better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman. Forget the housetop. Better to dwell in the wilderness. Yeah, you can motivate him. Yeah, you can get him to change his mind. But it's not a godly thing to do. And it's not going to bring out the best in your husband. And we're talking about how to help one another to be the best that we can be. What else can you do? You can respect him. You can respect your husband. Ephesians 5 verse 33 says, "Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself." We talked about that last week. We got that. Your husband, he knows that. And let the wife see that she respects her husband. Isn't this interesting that it's not that the husband loved the wife and the wife loved the husband? Have you ever noticed that and thought about that? That should be the two-way street, right? That should be what keeps it going. Mutual love between one another. But the Holy Spirit said respect. The husband loves the wife. The wife respects the husband. Let me tell you what your husband really would like to have from you is respect. You want to help your husband be the best husband he can be? Then you let him know that you respect him. How important is respect to men? Maybe women don't understand this. How important is respect? I heard this illustrated just this past week in this way. Men who are at war. And I've never been in the military, and I've never been in conflict. So I can't speak firsthand about this. But someone said that the men who are at war and who are in conflict and who know that they are being led out onto the battlefield in harm's way, where bullets are going to come flying at them, why do they do it? Why do they step out and put themselves in harm's way? At that moment, at that time, it's not for the country. It's not for the stars and stripes. And it's not for the folks who are back home. What it is that keeps them there with the rest of their fellow soldiers and keeps them from running away is they do not want their fellow soldiers thinking they are a coward. We hear people say every once in a while, "Oh, I would just die for that. I'd die for that house," right? "I'd die to have that car. I would die for this. I'd die for that." Men literally die for respect. That's what's important to us. You want to help your husband be a better husband, be a better man? Don't ever give him any reason to question whether or not you respect him. He's going to love you as Christ loves the church, You want to help your husband? Respect your husband and love him. Titus chapter 2, verse 4, the older women are to admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children. So love your husband. But what's interesting about this passage is that word love there, love your husbands, is not agape. I don't know if you find that surprising or not, but in this text, that is not the word agape. It is love their husbands is from a Greek word that literally means fond of men. And it has to do primarily with affection. Just like the next phrase, love their children, comes from a Greek word that literally means fond of children. But the emphasis here is on affection. Agape love is not that touchy-feely love. This is that affection love. You need to be affectionate with your husband. Now, sometimes the complaint is, well, he's not affectionate to me, and he's not romantic towards me, and that's probably because, by and large, a lot of us men have a toolbox mentality to just about everything, and that doesn't work with romance. Maybe what this text is telling you, wives, is that you need to be the one who instigates this. You need to be the one who instigates the affection in the relationship. But you also need that agape love. If you want to be your husband, or you want to help your husband to be the best husband that he can be, then let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Let's read verses 4 through 8. But let's substitute your name for the word love. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4, wives are long-suffering and kind. Wives do not envy. Wives do not parade themselves, are not puffed up. Do not behave rudely. Do not seek their own. Are not provoked. Think no evil. Do not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoice in the truth. Bear all things, believe all things, hope all things, endure all things. A wife's love for her husband never fails. You need that agape love as well. Be patient with him. Overlook the things that make him peculiar. Guess what? You've got those things too. They drive us crazy. Just like we drive you crazy, we're going crazy together, side by side. Be patient. Let's be patient with one another. Let's be quick to forgive and accept apologies. Let's love one another. And finally, we had 6 points last week. Let's have 6 this week. Communicate with your husband. You want to help your husband be a better husband? You want to help your marriage be the best that it can be? Communicate. Now, I've got a verse up here that has nothing to do specifically, immediately, in its context with marriage. The verse says, "For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the spirit of God." The point that's being made here is you can't read someone's mind. You don't know what someone's thinking unless they tell you what they're thinking. And we don't know what God is thinking unless He tells us what He's thinking. And thank God that He has, and His Spirit has revealed that to us. And that's what we find in the context there of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. But the principle is set forth, us husbands don't know what our wives are thinking unless they tell us. We are that dense. We really don't know. And so we can either go through a week of cold shoulder and cold treatment, or you can tell us. You can tell us. You can communicate with us. Dwell with them with understanding is made a lot easier if you tell us what you're thinking. Tell us what you need. Tell us how that's upset you, so that we don't do it again. Communicate these things with us. This is your role in that dwell with them with understanding part. Help us to understand. Communicate with us. There was plenty of things that the Holy Spirit has given to us husbands to work on to help our wives to be better wives. And here's plenty of things that the Holy Spirit has given to wives for wives to work on to help their husband to be the best husband that he can be. Be his companion, not somebody else's. Be his helpmeet in all ways that you can. Submit to his leadership. Give him respect. Don't underestimate the importance of that. Respect your husband. Love your husband in all ways. And communicate with your husband. As we said last week, this is a tall order. It's a lifelong thing to work on. But who's going to benefit more than you in helping your husband to be the best husband that he can be? You're the one who's going to benefit the most from that. So let's approach marriage the way that God designed it, and let's fulfill the responsibilities that God has given to both the husband and the wife in our marriages. We have some incredible families here in the Knollwood congregation that are built and based upon strong marriages. And just as Satan is looking to attack churches and looking to attack individual Christians, Satan would love nothing better than to get a foot in the door of your marriage and wreck your marriage. So give this matter importance. Help one another to be the best that they're capable of being. And let's stand faithful to the Lord through this life and into the next one. If you're here and you're not a Christian, and we offer the invitation at this time, maybe you are subject to the gospel call, you need to become a child of God, then we would encourage you to make that confession of faith before those who are here, to repent of your sins, and to let us baptize you in water for the forgiveness of those sins. If you've done that but you've become unfaithful, if you're overwhelmed and you need our prayers, whatever your need is, we invite you to come as we stand and sing this invitation song.